Let's all bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you this evening. We thank you so much for this privilege you have given unto us in this nation to gather here to hear your word. Father, as we go into your word this evening, Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I strip myself of every confidence I might yet have in my own knowledge or ability to share your word. I duck under all your mercy, the covenant of my spiritual parents, that Lord God, mercy will speak on my behalf today. That mercy will enable me to be faithful steward of the mysteries of the gospel. I ask that Lord, you grant me great grace and unction to set spiritual fathers to cause your word to go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit, causing an internal and eternal work to be done in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by revelation knowledge concerning your purposes for us at this time, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As your word goes forth, let it break yokes, let it meet this, let it cut glory to good, in the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings unto all the sons of men. As well as for grace, Lord, them to redeem, turn up to say things that are necessary, to say all things that are necessary, to bring out of treasure of all things, both new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. I would like to share today, the title of my message is, All Things Work Together for Good. Let's say together, all things work together for good. We all know where that scripture is from, and I'll tell you genesis of this message. It was yesterday, mom was sharing a clip with us, you know, and she was sharing a clip by a man of God called Joel Osteen. He was going on a journey in a plane, so he sat down, you know, on one side, his friends sat on the other side of the plane. And he saw something that looked like a tray. So his friend on the other side pulled the tray. So the tray came out. So he said, okay, let me put down some notes. And then he tried to pull his own tray, but the tray did not come out. So he kept pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, and nothing happened. So anyway, he got frustrated. So you can think about that situation. If you are in that situation, you'll be feeling, oh God, look at this person. Just a few minutes, his tray is out. You know, can liken that to circumstances. But man, I've been trying to pull this tray. It has not come out. So anyway, a friend came also to help her pull that tray. It didn't come out. So after, in the midst of that frustration, he looked at the window. On top of the window, it was written boldly there that this is not a tray, but an emergency exit. So you can imagine how he felt. That means if he had pulled that tray or that door successfully with the help of his friends, I follow him, he would have sucked out. Everybody would have been affected. So he said something. He said that the plane would have crashed. So he said something. He said that how many times do we, if God were to answer all our prayers? When you are praying about something, you believe it is the will of God. Even give an example of about marriage. That, how about just giving an hypothetical example, that somebody you will be believing God for, you will dress properly, use perfume, you've done everything to just catch this guy's attention, and the guy does not seem to look in your direction. And he said, what of if under that guy's shirt is written on his t-shirt underneath, emergency exit? And then you'll be blaming God, but God, why do you allow this to happen to me? Why do you allow this to happen to me? So it was in that context that mommy was sharing with us. And he shared two scriptures. One was that God causes not all things to work well for good. And then that there are no coincidences. That his thoughts don't happen anyhow. You know, she also tells the scripture that God's thoughts was of good and of evil to give us an expectant end. That means there's always an expectant end for everything God does in our life. So I'm going to be sharing from my, because I kept pondering on that over and over, and God now brought that scripture to me that I'll be sharing on, and I'm sure that God will help me. So let's open our Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Are we all there? This is a scripture that we quote in isolation. You know, just everybody either is doing your God or he does, even unbelievers quote it. So let's read together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. Say love God. And to them who are what? Called according to his purpose. Here we can see that things will not work together for good if you don't love God and you have not been called according to his purpose. Number two, we need to have that at the back of our mind. Don't just quote that scripture. I know that all things work together for my good. You see, in that situation with that man of God, and mommy shared with us, God had mercy on him. You see, many times, just the Bible says, Revelation says, I'm the one that opens a door and no man can shut. I'm one that shuts a door and no man can open. But see, if we push this thing at times out of ignorance, I get in me, and we self-will, stubbornness and rebellion, the door may open. And what I've seen it happen in my circumstances to different people, I won't give examples, you know, either they give them instruction or an instruction comes, they will not obey that instruction, and emergency exit. Either they die prematurely, or the marriage ends in divorce, or they don't get to that expectancy that God desires for them. So I want you to follow me closely as we continue. So I said that everyone in this end time is called according to his purpose. We need to know that. Let's look at everyone in this end time is called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. That same chapter. Say, for whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Did predestinate to be conformed to what? To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. I don't have time to turn there. If you read all the way down, it is because of this being called according to his purpose that he kept saying that if God be for us, who can be against us? If it is not according to that purpose, those that are against us will overcome us. It is that context that he said, who shall lay a charge to God's elect? If it's not according to that purpose, Satan will lay a charge and he will overcome. We need to know the purpose and hold fast to that purpose. Amen. And tenaciously follow that purpose. That all things might work together for our good. Because we love God, number one, and then are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. So I said that everybody in this end time is called according to his purpose, which is to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor has taught us one another that it is not only called for Jeremiah. When God told you, he said, for this, he said, I foreknow you in your mother's womb. Same thing applies to us in this present day. Jeremiah then was called to be a prophet to the nations. But for us, you have been called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to spend time that we already know. So everybody, that is the singular purpose for all of us in this end time. Praise the Lord. So I said, every born again Christian is called according to purpose. But it's not every born again Christian that loves God. So therefore, they can't fulfill that purpose. You see what I'm saying today? It will determine the things you do. The church you go, the person you marry, the kind of job you take, the offers you reject, it's going to affect everything. Because you are going to judge it by that singular purpose. So I guess that some of us might be pulling this emergency exit unknowingly, taking a train. And God in his sovereignty, honor covering, has kept that door from not opening. So we need to take a step backwards. And I will share something that mommy shared with us. You know, one of us is humility. I will get to you later. Is that he must increase and I decrease. We're going to get to you later. So it's not every Christian, that, like I said, that loves God. You know, but every Christian is called according to purpose. But God wants us to love him. I will see that as we continue. Praise the Lord. So I put here, I said, what good? Stay together. What good? The good, the primary good in this end time is the good of the end of our salvation. Are you following me? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, the end of our faith. To everything, there is a time, there is an end. I want to talk about Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, what is it? Receiving the end of our faith, of your faith. Even what? The salvation of your souls. It makes it very, very clear what the end is. The end is not getting a better job. The end is not doing all these things that people Gentiles run after. As we follow this end, all other things will be added unto us. Now, the other scripture that mommy mentioned is in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Those are the thoughts. That is what God is thinking about. When he wants to give you a job, wants to give you a husband, that's all he's thinking about in the end time. Yeah. But I can link those two things. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. What I say is receiving, when it gives you, now receive it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. The end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. So everything that God begins to think about you, is towards that end. So his good thoughts are towards you. His good thoughts are, it may be divine delay. It may be to block you from getting that job. I'm using actual examples so we can relate to them. So at any point that we should not be discouraged. When what we expect does not happen, or does not go the way we expect it to go, like Joseph. If Joseph had not gone to prison, I thought he had been bitter, or maybe the butler reminded, told the king about him, that thing will not work together for good. I also give the example of Anna. You see, things bad may have happened, but if you follow this process of, I'm getting out of prayer and intercession, I'm getting out of myself, God will not take that thing, all things, the bad things, and they will not turn it around. So like Pastor said, you know, the navigator, it will reroute you back to that purpose. So at the end of someone like Anna that should have been a widow and be crying all her life that what God had is to happen to me. Look at all my friends. What kind of shame is this? At the end of the day, she discovered that purpose. She followed it and she fulfilled it. Praise the Lord. So it's very important to have at back of mind. So I said that is the end. And you see, that word good, I thought about it. If you look about Genesis, when God created the earth, heaven and the earth, he said everything was good, everything was good. On the sixth day, he created man. And then in Genesis 2:2, he said something, he said that God ended all his work, but did not end it until he said, and he saw that everything was good. And last thing he created was man in his image and in his likeness. So you see, this, what are we saying? As the scripture also put it about this end, to make it clear, the good end is the salvation of our souls. Let's get the good end of God for us is the salvation of our souls. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8. Let's get, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And what? This is the key. This is the key. This is the key. And the patient, the what? Spirit is better than the prodding spirit. It takes patience to attain unto this end. Like Pastor was sharing about patience some times ago. The proud will never get there because the proud is not patient, of which Satan is the papa. The Bible says that he knows that his time is very short. So it's going to take patience to attain unto this end that we're talking about. Praise the Lord. So what is patience? Pastor has taught us. Patience is, you know, constant, consulted, where directed for you, operating the spiritual laws, you know, prayer, confession, binding the devil, and things like that. You need to be patient. This end we are talking about is not something you can wake up today and get there tomorrow. Especially with all things that is going on in our nation, in our different circumstances, you know, that will seek to wear you down. But there is a way of escape. So what I was saying, I said, if I put the pastor said, he said, it is God that gives us endurance. This kind of patience, steadfastness, to remain steadfast in the midst of, no, was this man that said it, Habakkuk. He said, though the fig tree shall not blossom, though there be no fruit in the vine, he said, yet will I praise, rejoice in the Lord. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is, it takes endurance. It's God. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not a passive waiting. Ordinarily you'll be discouraged. Can you imagine all the years I've spoken about this same message, this thing is going to happen and it is yet to happen. But like I also said, the kingdom of God is within you. Begin to see a change inside. They say, I'm changing. I've not seen it outwardly, but I'm seeing something is changing. And one day you see the thing manifest on the outside. So I put it here. It's not a long message. It's for the Holy Spirit. So why is this message very important? That God must cause all things to work together for our good. Point number one. I said, all things must work together for the good of our healing and health, protection and long life. You see, Satan does not want us to live long to fulfill our destiny. And the good end of God is for us to live long and fulfill our destiny. Psalm 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy him, that I might show him my salvation. That is the end point. That is why God wants to live long. That is why Simeon said something. He said, now I can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. That is, there is no point going anywhere before you see the salvation of the Lord in your heart and in your body. So it is very important. That is very, very important. You see, as I was studying, I'm getting ahead of myself. I was thinking about Daniel. From day one, Satan had planned to kill Daniel. Yes. The end of Daniel's purpose at that time was to pray Israel back. But from Daniel chapter 1, when the Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, And he could not, nobody could interpret it. They were not only going to kill the Chaldeans, they were going to kill everybody. Can you imagine? Yeah. About Daniel's purpose at the very beginning. Yeah. But the key thing is this, they said they went aside and they began to pray and began to seek God's face. So God gave the answer. Kept on dealing with all the way. Intercession caused all things to work together for good. Intercession. Or else, if they had not prayed at that time, this guy would have killed them. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar. Don't say it can't happen. New Testament. Who killed James? Herod. He put them in prison. Everybody was taking it easy. It doesn't really matter. I get that out of myself. You see, something came to my talking my heart when I was just thinking about these things. Pastor said something. He said that when Hitler came into power, everybody thought it was going to be very fine. You understand when I'm talking types and shadows. But you see, I would cut down some people that understand who does through the times and seasons before anything happened. After they voted, follow me. He told them something. Said they started praying against him. They did not wait though. Those that had an understanding of times and seasons and what Israel to do, the others were rejoicing that this guy has entered, everything's going to be fine. They thought the change they were expecting had come. But they made a mistake. So they began their cluster prayers immediately, and of sister was sworn in. They kept praying. When everything seemed good, after he divided his speech, they kept praying. After he divided his promises, they kept praying. When he started misbehaving, they kept praying. What would have happened if they did not pray? And just kept quiet like every other person in Israel. Only Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach were praying in Babylon. So follow me. So Bible says all things work together for good, for our healing and health, long life and protection. I've mentioned one scripture, Romans 8:28. That scripture I quoted, they said, and we know that all things worked. New International, have with them. Say, and we know. NIV, please. I want to link it with our healing and health. It's very important. It says, and we know. And we know that in all things, God works what? For the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. What is that good? Make it very simple. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Talk about it. The Lord just went about doing good. What good? Healing all those that are oppressed of the devil. It is not your destiny. It is not my destiny to die prematurely of sickness or disease or not live long. Oppression of the devil or premature death or accident. So you see, it takes the working together of all things for your good, for you to enjoy divine hand, a long life and protection, that you might fulfill your destiny. So we should not settle for anything less. It just kind of flashes against my mind again. You see, again, it can't happen unless, like Jesus Christ said, He said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, before destruction came, how often I've tried to gather you? You need covering. At the end, you need covering. You need covering. We need covering. I need covering. Praise the Lord. Second point is that all things must work together for our good in order for us to fulfill our prophetic destiny, which is to inherit and manifest the glory of God. You see, it's not, they are linked. Let me explain it to you. You need to live long in good health, protected. That is fine. Now, what is that purpose? But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says that God has called us to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why have I separated those two? You see, you can live long like Methuselah, instead of living long like Enoch. Hey! Say it again. You see, you can live long like Methuselah. Hey! Are you following me? It was an Israelite, so to speak. But all that God could write about him was his age. Hey! But Enoch walked with God, and he was taken, and he's the seventh from Adam. So our destiny is to inherit that. It's not just to escape divine, not just to live long, good health. That is good. That is the foundation. We need that. But on top of that, there are going to be Christians that will live long, but not inherit the glory. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So the second point that we inherit and manifest that glory, declare that glory to the ends of the earth. This is very, very important. So the third point I have here is that all things must work together for our good, for our nation that you are to fulfill our prophetic destiny. Understand this. Satan is struggling for the steering wheel of his nation. God has declared our purpose and destiny. Isaiah 18. The land overshadowing with wings. We are supposed to send ambassadors to Bulrush. She's talking about the apostolic and prophetic ministry. Nigeria now is like a type of a cave in which Obadiah hid 50 and was feeding them in time of Ahab. Because Jezebel was trying to kill the prophets. Mind you, Jezebel was also an Israelite. Those that are trying to kill us are not just those that are outside, but fellow Christians that don't understand purpose and destiny. Understand it. You both have an agent. It just comes to me. He says that nothing from without can defile a man. Exactly. There are people that are defiling the church who don't want this message to go out. Are you following me? So there are prophets that God has hidden. Nigeria is like a cave. That's kept them in different caves and has feed them going with bread and water while Ahab was reigning. That the fathers of so-called church today with their church members, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, they have one purpose: to kill the prophets. But God will not allow it. Amen. So what are we saying? For all things to work together for our nation. I don't want to go into it. All this just comes like a flash. You see, that's why in that time there was a siege in Israel. There was a famine. There was a problem. You know, that brought in the story of Elijah that led to Mount Carmel. Before that time, this problem was occurring. But I now said, don't you remember Elijah? The one that been feeding this. It was the same situation we're in our nation, Nigeria. I follow me. There are people within that are trying to kill, to destroy, or to hinder the purpose of God. But God is very wise. He has hid them in a cave. It's not a literal cave, it's the love of God. Where they are being fed with bread and water until the siege is over. Praise the Lord. So Isaiah 18, verse 1 to 3, just to put some scripture. People that may not, let us put this, the pastor has taught us one. Help me, Holy Spirit. Water to the land, shadowing with wings, which is what? Beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Beyond the river. Next verse. That what? Sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes. Upon the water, saying, go ye, what? Swift messenger, the apostolic ministry. To a nation scattered and people, not to a people terrible from their beginning. Either to a nation meted out and turning down, whose land the rivers have spoiled or divided. You see, until those ambassadors go out, we have not yet fulfilled these promises. After the glory, will he send me to the nations? All right. That is our purpose as a nation. So Satan is fighting it. Every fight with everything, both within and without. Just I lived ahead of myself. See, when Pastor was talking earlier, he talked about Isaac has to be born. That is, if you get everywhere there, Isaac is not born, then is the promise has not been fulfilled. I dare to tell you that Isaac has been born. We are now in the church. Isaac is growing, and Agar's son is persecuting the son of Isaac because Isaac is moving on to maturity. So Abraham saw it, the fathers that God has raised up. And Sarah, they saw it, said, what nonsense is this? Cast out the born woman with her son. She cannot inherit. Can you wake up and say, let me be quiet. They cast out the born woman and her son. Twofold. Let's think spiritually. What made the difference between the child of promise and the son of the born woman? The nature. So don't look at just somebody else. Because that same nature, if you don't deal with it, the same nature, they are not born again. Spirit, soul, body. So you should cast out that same nature. Are you following me? So not all Israel is Israel. So Psalm 144 verses 12 to 15. We know he said that pastor quotes all them are praying for Nigeria. And that Ghana has been full, afford all manner of store. Our sheep bring forth thousands and thousands. Our daughters are put like smith of a palace. Blah, 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 blah. And said, happy is these people whose God is Lord. That is what I'm saying. And we know that our destiny just, we all know it. This is what God wants. That is the end for Nigeria. The end to send ambassadors with bull rushes into the nations of the world. The end is that this nation, they will not be breaking in, no complaining in our streets. So you, it's easy to know. When he complains, that means Satan is fighting it. Are you following me? He's fighting it. There's complaining. God said there's no complaining. Are you following me? He's fighting. So that's how I can know what he's trying to do. He's trying to make that word inoperative. But our destiny is that this nation, I follow him, becomes peaceable, no war. Why is that? We can preach the gospel. The third point is this, talking about the good, working together for a good. Psalm 85 verse 12. Let's turn to that one. Are we there? 85 verse 12. Yea, the Lord, let's forget, the Lord shall do what? Give that which is good. Oh, and our land shall yield our increase. That is the destiny of Nigeria. Next verse. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. This perfection message. The way of his steps. How to attain unto him. But what I want to say is that our land shall give our increase. What increase are we talking about? Isaiah 9 verse 7. It says, of the increase of his government and peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to what? Order it and to establish it with what? Judgment with justice from henceforth even forever. For what? The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall from it. God is going to do what he has said concerning this nation because of his purpose. What God wants is beyond you and I. His zeal will perform it. His zeal of Lord shall perform it. Forget, Nigeria cannot go under. God has invested so much in this nation. It does not matter if one third of the angels of the Church of Nigeria follow Satan. Two thirds are with God. Angels are messengers of God. I'm talking about Satan himself. It does not matter. That's why there's war in heaven. There's war in heaven. Angels are found, not just physical angels. Even the angels of good as God has raised up in this end time. There's war in heaven. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand that. As I was thinking about this nation of Nigeria, I thought about Jonah. Just as I sat down there, God sent Jonah to Nineveh, that great city. But see, Jonah thought that nothing will happen. By the time Jonah gave that message to Nineveh, the Bible says something. From the king to everybody, chicken, they said they called a fast. And God spared that nation. I don't have time to turn there. He called the fast. And he spared that nation. And the Bible says that greater than Jonah is here. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We're not only going to preach, we're going to pray to the manifestation. Praise the Lord. So that is the increase. Now I mentioned earlier on about Daniel, we don't have to turn there. Satan was going to kill you. Satan has an idea of things to come. Immediately they came to Babylon, he had an idea. But these ones, so they are well favored, so let's kill them. So he allowed you. This guy has a dream. These people, let's deal with them. Can you imagine? Look at the ratio. Four people, four boys, out of the entire nation of Israel. So it is today. They had an understanding of times and seasons and what is allowed to do. Can you imagine what after they told them the dream, the percentage? They didn't even know. Israel about that, they didn't even know. Why some people are eating pulses and eating and drinking water, the others didn't even know. That God has put the destiny like the ark on four people: Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The other did not know. So it was those four that stood like so in Jordan. But the other Israelites to cross over. There is responsibility on our shoulders. Others may not know, but we know, because it has been spoken over and over to us in this congregation. So he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Is it time to die to self? You know what? This kind cannot go except by fasting and praying. These seat tight leaders cannot go like Bashar Azad except by fasting and praying. This kind, no, let me give you, it's not my nose, it's just coming to me. Thank God for covering. You know, at times I say things like that, who is talking to me from behind? You know, when Christ was coming from the mountain, he was like Moses. He said, who is on the Lord's side? So the master was coming after, it was the month of transfiguration when he manifested his glory. By the time he came down, the three that saw the glory were not there. It was the others that could not go to the mountain, that could not cast out the devil by epilepsy, which is the type of our nation, Nigeria. So he comes down and says, what nonsense? The guy runs and says, please help me. Like everyone else has scattered about Nigeria today. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? All the so-called disciples, the others, they could not do anything. And has been trying to kill him. He said, over and over. He said, he's been trying. When Jesus Christ said, he said, Master, what's up? He said, please help me. If anything can do, he can help me. He said, what is the problem? He said, this priest, he catches Nigeria, transforms his fire. He said, many times you have tried to kill him. Count from the civil war. Hey! He said, but that I brought you your disciples, they cannot do anything. But there were only three people that were coming from the mount with Lord Jesus. Four. Carry the ark. So when they came down, the master stood in front of them. We are talking about the breaker company. The Lord at the head of them. So the master comes down and he stands in front of them and says, he was very annoyed. Listen. He was not with Peter, James, and John. He was with the others that were there. He said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long will I suffer you, church Nigeria? He wasn't talking to Peter, James, and John. No. They were not there. The remainder were there. Said, okay, the zeal of the other folks shall perform this. Bring that boy to me. Understand what I'm saying? He looked at the other man and he said, bring him to me. And he cast them out. Yes. The other man came and said, Master, this thing you have done for us, how come you could not cast him out? This spirit of a bond woman, how come you have not been able to deal with it all these years? And he said something to him. He said, because of your unbelief, one. Two, this kind cannot go out except by fasting and praying. Then God will cause all things to work together for good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. Thank you so much. So let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 13. Just want to mention it. About aspect of fasting and praying. Daniel chapter 1 verse 13. What does it say? Says no, where it talks about fasted, I'm sorry, what about you fast? Daniel 9:2, just for time. 9 says, and in the fifth year of his reign, I Daniel did what? Understood by the books. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. You need to understand, it takes the life of God to get this thing done. Whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the dissolutions of Jerusalem. Many Jeremiahs have died. People like F.F. Bosworth, you know, all these people are passing. Thank you, sir. I'm trying to. They said this thing, but as a Dana generation, I understood that the time is now. But they understood from the teachings of Jeremiah that were penned down, all this that has been said about this nation. How come? Have you ever imagined? How come in the whole of this place only Daniel knew? So you can understand. Don't say in your heart that why are we the only ones that are preaching this thing? Others don't talk about it. Manifestation of glory, redemption of the body. You are better be part of that fall So he said, and I set my face unto Lord God to seek my prayer, what? Supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So I want us to see that is very important. This thing cannot go except by fasting and praying. So the fourth point I have is that all things must work together for good, that we can receive the end of the things written concerning us in this book. See, apart from being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which is the primary thing we are looking for, the redemption of our body, there are things that God has written concerning you in this book, which brings back what we were sharing. You see, you can't wake up today, I'm going to marry somebody else. Wọ́n ní ẹ má lè kọ́nà má lè kágbé egun ilé-egun. Ó máa háyàn lọ́fun. You see, you can't wake up today and go and marry. So Bible says that, you know, God will take a bone from Adam and make a woman. And then, so you must have this idea. If it is bone that God has taken, there must be different bones, ribs or whatever. So if you go and pick another man's bone. So you understand Yoruba? But what am I saying? You see, what we're saying is, it will determine what you do. There are things that God has written concerning you in this book. That when that glory manifests, you're not going to just sit down. You have to fulfill the fullness of the things that God has written concerning this book with that glory. But you must know those things. So it will now determine where you go, what to do. I follow him. Or else, if you get hooked up to the wrong person, it will affect destiny. It will affect destiny. Let me make it as simple as that. So I say we must, for all things to work together for good, so I can receive the end concerning things written in this Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pastor has talked many times about this place. And if any man, let's begin, if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall do what? Take away what is part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Not just book of Revelation, the entire Bible. Scattered everywhere. Here a little, there a little. But God wants us to fulfill it. He said, I want to talk about Anna and Simeon. Let me talk about Simeon first. I mentioned later on 29. We have to go there. He said, now let us thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen the glory of God. If I talk about Anna, I don't talk about, just come to me again. What's this guy's name? Elimelech. But there was a famine in the land. He carried all his bags and baggages and everything, took his wife and left. And went from Moab. They left the land of bread, Bethlehem, Judah. If you see, put it on the boat. I think it's in Ruth. I was in the Bible one day. I never knew. I thought it was like, if they got there today, they joined that the next day. They did bread the fourth day. 10 years! They continue 10 years! 10 years! 10 years in which famine continued in the house of bread, so to speak, and they were enjoying flesh in the land of Moab, as if nothing would happen. But all of a sudden, their sins found them out. Mahlon died, Chilion died, Elimelech died. Then Naomi, who was married to the wrong man, Elimelech, he now woke up to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. How would he have been when Elimelech says, let's go? Say, honey, I'm not going with you. Amen. You know, if ever assume, just assume that he goes with the two children and she stayed back, who would have married Boaz at an earlier age? By the time they got back, she was too old to marry. So if you had stayed back and said, look me, Obello, you can go. And she had stayed back, she would have been saved. Oh my God, it's just coming. You see, when they came back, she was the one that gave Ruth the understanding of what to do to marry Boaz. So she had the understanding. What would have happened if she had stayed and gone to work in Boaz's field? Let me give an example. I just mentioned as it comes to me. I'm not trying to brag. You see, years ago, it's good to pray. When I go to start my job in Epignosis, I just mentioned it. I went to two job offers came to me. to go and marry and work in a marry, please don't go with him. You go and work in a business center. One that time was the advent of computer and all that. I come and work in Epignosis as a sales executive, sales rep. So I read something that had born again less than 2-3 years old. So I read something that used to come to church. Any decision to make just pray. So I went to pray. I did an all night to be sure. So I came back to Pastor Larry. I was a Jew pastor. I'm going to Epignosis. So I went and joined Epignosis. I started working. Our leg broke loose. Oh, yay. At home, everywhere, just based on that decision I made. To make matters worse, you see, the guy that owned the business, something, he was the chairman of Ibadan North local government. Many have been governor chairman, so don't think about whoever. listen, and I was in this church, and we're in the same group. Then they married. So I said, all hell broke loose. People laugh at me. You've missed it, though. You've missed it big time. There were days that I would cry. I would say, God, why did I do this now? Didn't I make a mistake? There was persecution everywhere at home. They said, is it what you're going to do with your life? How much are they paying you? And we cut long story short, so I won't take too much time. The next stage, it gets worse. This guy gave birth to his children, and then they moved into Pastor Boyega's group. I wasn't married then. I was still working in Epignosis. So Pastor Boyega's going to do the naming ceremony. So we took, I so like that car, our Toyota Crown. We drove, it was a Tuesday, I can never forget. We drove down to the yes. Gone are those days. Oh, why in Balat is this? When we got there, we entered the place. I entered the guy's house. His house is somewhere, I don't want to mention the place, in the bottom. When we got there, the first thing I saw was the basketball court. Hey! Cars were just parked like this. Hey! I give you all the bread then. So if I eat it, bad. The guy talks loftily. But okay. So anyway, to call us Richard, we did the naming ceremony. We left. Thank God it was a Tuesday. Even though I said I should eat, I couldn't eat. You know what I'm trying to say? So anyway, we left. Fast track some years after. Here I'm working in Righteous. Here this guy walks in and he says, comes to beg me and say, please, I want to supply you with chicken. Please, can I be supplying chicken to you? I don't know what happened that time and this time. Both of you had made the wrong choice. I would have been carrying chicken around the whole place. Holding me and say, pa. It's a fact, though. You need to pray to make the right decisions. So, when God wants to give you a gift, he can wrap it with newspaper. You must now learn to remove the newspaper and take the gift. When Satan wants to give you a gift, you will be very fine wrapper and shiny. Like mom will say, Chagbalo yo yo. They go and grab you. Oh, this is the best one. You made a mistake. You just grab Pandora's box. The guy comes and after they gave us those cars, he came and said, I said, this is your car, I like it too. How much did you buy this car? I said, it's so and so. I could not believe it. What am I saying? Why did I say that story? Not to brag. It took the matter of God to oppose me that time. It wasn't 1 year, it wasn't 2 years, it wasn't 3 years, it wasn't 4 years, it was about 10 years before things turned around. Things started changing for my good. So very important. So that's why I said all that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So where was I? So Anna. I was talking about Anna. Let's open to Luke chapter 2, verse 37. I want to bring down something. Wait. And she was what? A widow of about 84 years, which departed not from what? The temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Next verse. Is that next verse? And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him all things that are all them that look for redemption in Israel. We are looking for redemption of our body. Now, this is what I want to say. Why did Anna have to wait to become a widow before he started fasting and praying? Have you ever thought about it? Now, God turned that bad situation around for her good. One of us, she had been doing that fasting and praying. Not that maybe she was doing, but she was departing. Departing here for us that this book of the law shall not depart from your heart and mouth. What would have happened if Anna had taken heed to those same commandments? It wasn't when the husband died that God decided that, okay, you are going to be part of the end time that will come about Jesus Christ. No, it had been written concerning in this book. But maybe like Abigail, my to neighbor, she never had an understanding of purpose. So when God removed, so to speak, that veil, she now began to, instead of crying, say, God, what kilo share is he making? Go now show that. But look, this is what the plan I have for you. My thoughts will have good out of you to give you an expectant. So I'm going to turn it around. Don't worry. Don't be bitter about life. Don't be bitter if you've made a mistake. I've made a mistake many times. But don't be bitter. Let's go back to God and begin to pray. Seek his face. Don't let depart from the temple. That means that you don't allow the word to depart from the mouth. Make the eye. So that we can experience what she experienced. Are you following me? How are we going to get to this? I mentioned it earlier. I said, to them that love God, to them that love God, and those that are called according to his purpose. So let's take it one at a time. Who are those that love God? I said that it is not every Christian that is born again that loves God. So it is not automatic, even though we are called unto the same purpose. It's not everybody that goes to university that finish. I follow him. So what is that love God? 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Pastor was sharing last Sunday. Says, let's go. By this we know, look into that know, all things work that are good, that we what? Love the children of God, when we what? Love God, and do what? Keep his commandments. So if you don't love the children of God, and you don't keep his commandments, you do not love God. Next verse. Pastor was sharing with us this last Sunday. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For this is the love. Let's say it together. For this is the love of God, that we do what? Keep his what? Commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, to keep his commandments. Listen, you don't love God. And if your attitude is wrong, it will be grievous to you. That means you need to go back. You must have grieved the Holy Spirit. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We grieve him when we don't walk in love. Kedengi said something. He said, every step out of love is sin. When you can summarize your love, like, every step out of love is sin. So when you say something wrong, you've sinned. Hello? So you quickly get back into love. Let's look at the next scripture I put here. Commandment number one. That pastor is believing on his name to receive life. John chapter 20 verse 31. Pastor shared last time about it. I'll soon finish. I'll be there. John chapter 20, 31. Say, let's go that. But these are written that you might what? Believe. Say, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that what? Believing you might have what? Life. Say, life. Through his name. Only through his name can you get life. The life of God is a commandment. John chapter 12 verse 50. 12. And I know, let's see, and I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. So whatever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So the commandment number one is to receive life. That itself is a commandment. Praise the Lord. Yes, I say for you this day, life and death. Say, choose life that you may live. And your seed. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. Of which there is no retreat or surrender. You can't. You just have to obey. So you can see what problem and root of the problem in the body of Christ. You get the little measure of life of God. And that is the end. We don't allow life, that same life, to leaven the old lump, spirit, soul and body. Commandment number two. To love one another as he gave us commandment. John chapter 13 verse 34. Are we there? John 13. Yes, sir. A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's a very, very tough commandment. God is saying, as you love my wife, exactly the same way that he loves her. He's saying, as you love my fellow brethren, the same way and he loves them. So when he was going to die, but John recorded something, said, and he loved his own until the end. Somewhere in John, towards the end. Yeah. So the kind of love we're talking about is the love of God that passeth all understanding. There was a time that something occurred and I said, God, why? I said, God, I don't understand. Why? Why? And he spoke to me, said, you don't have to understand. It is my love that passeth all understanding. Just walk in love and move on.
End of story.
Don't need to understand. Just walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, forgiveness, mercy. Just keep moving. Bible says, he loved his own unto the end, somewhere in John. That is, up to the time they were going to kill him, he kept that love be not diminish. John 17. I don't need this. Says that, what verse? Just touch it briefly and move on. Where is it? That is it. Now, therefore, the feast of Passover, when God fulfilled his destiny, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. If they put it nicely here, we can put it like this: when he understood that Judas was going to betray him, they are going to slap him and beat him, his love did not diminish. Everyone was saying, I must increase, he must increase, and I decrease. It just kept on the same love, the same blessing. He kept on giving, including love. That's why I say, I have prayed for you all. He didn't say, Judas, I won't pray for you. No, he prayed for him. So when God was checking the account book at the end of the day, everything was balanced. He had paid his own part of the prayer debt. Follow me. He had done everything. So when he was coming, you see, the assignment, God now started talking to him. He said, he was nobody supposed to. If you read that, I think it's John 17. He said, of all you have given me, I've lost none. Then you everybody can account to. They're going to start. God say, of all you have given me, he was giving God. I didn't lose them. No, I did not. Even you, I did not. Except some partition. It was given an account. That account was built on the love work from the beginning to the end. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. He was still working in love, but they know what they did. You must love your own. That God has given you, your wife, your children, your congregation, unto the end.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praying, and I put the second aspect. You see, that love is not gra-gra. Go and ask for this. He said, it's not gra-gra. It takes intercession to walk in that kind of love. Praying with all types of prayer, with travail. We are getting back to all things working together for good. Romans 8:26. Likewise, in the same manner. New International NIV. Help me, Holy Spirit. Are we there? In the same way, the Spirit helps what? Us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself does what? Intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Next verse. No, let's take it back to where we talked about redemption of the body. Pastor mentioned it earlier today. But the world is groaning. The Spirit of God is groaning, which we are called to join God's groaning, not the groaning of the world. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of a Spirit, you speak in tongues. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. What is the reason for that groaning? Say, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. Next verse. That is the issue. It's the same thing. I'll connect it by the grace of God. For we are saved by hope of that redemption of the body, because they are not yet appeared. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? We have not seen it, so we are hoping for it. We are using our faith to reach out for that hope. Are you following me? Next verse. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what? Patience. Like Pastor told us. Do what? Wait for it. In prayer, in fasting, confession, in groaning. Are you waiting for it? It's not a passive waiting, it's an active waiting. Next verse. So likewise, because of that hope of the redemption of our body, are waiting for those who now comes to help us in our weaknesses. You said, the Spirit is willing, the body is weak. That's why the body needs to be redeemed. Overcome that weakness. Says that, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. NIV is better. Okay, let's keep reading. Doesn't matter. Next verse. And he which searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, say for the saints, in accordance to God's will. Next verse. And we know, because he's praying for us towards the redemption of our body, are you following me? That all things will work together for our good, because we love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you don't follow, make the redemption of your body as the goal, then all the other steps cannot follow. They can't work together for good. You know why? It says that a body that has prepared for me. Can you link it? That redemption of body, God needs a body, you and I, that can manifest his glory too. Yeah. So he has to prepare that body. That's why the Spirit has come to get that body ready. By getting rid of the sin nature in the soul and in the body. I follow him. Says, oh, okay, purpose. Now let's look at that briefly as I begin to round up. What are we saying? What is that purpose? Is what I've just mentioned, the redemption of our body. I passed to the zero, attaining to the zero sin rate. Like mommy shared, he must increase and I decrease. How does he increase? He must increase in humility, in life, in love, by his life entering your soul and your body. You see, mommy, pastor shared a vision that mommy here shared years ago. I just talked in my mind that people are talking about deliverance and all that. And I said, mommy had a vision, I believe, if I'm wrong, I'm sure she'll correct me, that God showed mommy that the easiest way to get rid of, if you have a cup here, there's air inside. The easiest way to get rid of the air inside is not to try and suck out the air. You're going to waste time. Just keep pouring in water. So as you are pouring in the water, the air is going out. As you are pouring in water, the air goes down. So concentrate on getting more of a life of God in your spirit, soul, and body. So the sin nature will want to go out. You can read that context in the book of John. You can put it there. When Papa Kelly was preaching, he said, he must increase and I decrease. You see, when he begins to increase, you will automatically decrease. You are not trying to do two things at the same time. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Concentrate on perfecting the love of God. Filling your will, mind with the love of God, with the life of God. Automatically, you will that's why I say you will decrease. You will decrease. Say, if I believe that up, it's in nature, you will decrease. If I believe that up, I will draw men to you. So concentrate on lifting him up in your spirit, soul, and body. Then, praise the Lord. So, Romans chapter, I've read that. Then, let me link the scripture before we finish about this redemption of the body. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to stop now. I think I have just 2 and 9. You're talking about the redemption of the body. That is why you are groaning. If you can pick it from Romans, we are waiting in hope for the redemption of his body. What is it? He that committed what? Sin is of the devil. The amazing is of the devil. Why? Because the devil is to control them from the air. You know, that make it habitually sin. I'm talking about when you make mistakes, you know. But if you make it a habit, you're not doing something about it. You know? For the devil's sinned from the beginning. For, let's say, for this purpose. Say, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. All things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to this purpose. What is that purpose? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Iniquity, anxiety, devil, sin. Sin. Next verse. What does the next verse say? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin habitually. For his seed remained in him, not just in the spirit, soul, and body. And he cannot sin because he is born of God, spirit, soul, and body. Hey. It is possible. If God said it, he will perform it. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. That is is our purpose. That is our destiny. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's not destroying the physical body. It's that sin nature is talking about. In the body. That henceforth we should not serve sin. That means if the sin nature is not destroyed, flushed out, the pastor wrote recently, you find that we are still going to be serving sin. And when you serve sin, you're serving Satan. But God has given us a way of escape. Because that is how, if you follow this purpose of redemption of your body, I'm going to stop now. You become God's, the apple of God's eye. So it now begins to call all things to work together for our good. So it begins to determine your decisions. The person you marry. Ah, this one doesn't understand though. He's not following over this purpose. So I can't marry. Ah, this job is going to take me from purpose. I can't take it too, even though it brings so many riches. No. So we understand, the first thing is to understand the purpose. It's the same thing as being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The pastor has broken it down, made it so simple so you can know what to do every day to attend unto that purpose. So when you start pursuing that purpose by loving God, then all the other things, God will now begin to cause to go together for our good. Why hasn't God allowed Nigeria to be destroyed? The remnant that is falling after this purpose. If I can find just 10 people, yeah, I will spare this land. Thank God that this message will hear out there, that we're hearing it. Assuming that this is not our focus and our purpose, what happened to Liberia will have happened to us. But God forbid it did not happen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Let's give it on a super clap offering. Hallelujah. That's a good, lovely prophetic word there. Amen. And like Pastor Dury said when he was ministering, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit not has said, but what the Spirit is currently saying. This is a present truth word of what the Holy Spirit is saying. And in closing, I like to amplify one particular thing he said, particularly about Nigeria. You know, and he typified the church in Nigeria that God is using to preserve the nation by the four Hebrew boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which typify the four priests. There were four priests that carried the ark. And unlike when they crossed the Red Sea, Moses just pointed the thing, the sea divided into two, and everybody passed. But not so with Jordan. With Jordan, the ark was carried by the four priests, and they put their legs inside the Jordan. Once they stepped in, the Jordan parted, but they had to stay there until the rest of Israel passed. If they took their legs off, the water would have come back. What does that speak to us? There is a Daniel company in the land that God is using to pray for Nigeria. And as they step into the Jordan, which represents death, Nigeria will not die. Amen. Amen. They stop death and create a path for the rest of the nation to go. So Nigeria will now go from Egypt, the wilderness, into the promised land that God has for Nigeria. But the four priests are vital to stay there for the rest of the nation to pass across. And the promised land for Nigeria is the one Pastor Dewey mentioned from Psalm 144. That there will be no complaining in our streets. That our oxen will be strong to labor. Our young girls will be like polished cornerstones in the palace. The young men will be like plants grown up in there. You, this is the promised land. But there has to be a Daniel coming that's going to stand in Jordan. And that's where we are right now, actually. As we pray and as we intercede. He touched on some really, really great things, you know. Talked about Jezebel and Ahab, you know, trying to kill the prophets, you know, and that activity is going on as we speak, you know. But God is preserving the prophets, just like God preserved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Satan tried to kill them not once. When they first came to Babylon, he tried to kill them. As they prospered and all of that, he tried to kill them again through the fiery furnace. And they were crucial to the fulfilling of the destiny. Because, God forbid, had Daniel and those boys died, Israel would have stayed in Babylon forever. It was the ministry of Daniel through the intercession that opened the door for Cyrus to make the decree that brought Israel out of Babylon back to the promised land. In the same way, today, for God's purpose for the church and for the nation to be fulfilled, the Daniel company must not die. They have to pray, and God will use their intercession, you know, to create the door, you know, through which the destiny of the land will be fulfilled. He also said something. I like the expression he used. You know, it struck me when he said it. He said, Satan is trying to take the steering wheel of this nation. See, all this agitation we're seeing, political, ethnic, religious, every day, you won't just read the papers, you see, you know, and you know, the everything, you know, the herdsmen killing people, all kinds of things happening. Satan is trying to wrest the steering wheel of the nation to try and stop, because he can see that we are about to enter the glory, to try and get the nation out of its path of destiny, you know, to make it crash so that it never gets to the destination point. But he has failed. Amen. We by the grace and the mercy of God will keep the steering wheel of the nation and channel the nation to its ultimate prophetic destiny. Closing, we need to understand this, and what I'm about to say is of tremendous importance, and it is this: God looks for men he's going to use. He doesn't just do things in limbo. The greatest mistake you can ever make in your life is to say, oh, it's just me, I'm not important. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, at the time they were doing the things they did, they didn't know how important and vital what they were doing was, but they were faithful to it. And so it is today. Don't say, oh, you know, it's not important, you know, I'm sure the other people God is using. How do you know? I'm not saying they're not, but I'm saying you behave as if it's you alone. You know why? The only person's heart you know is yours. Or the one God shows you. You may have an idea and think, oh, these people are okay and this is fine, which is fine, you know, but the one you can be 100% sure about is your own. And that's the one you should make sure you look after and make sure you fulfill your own part of this destiny. Because you don't know how significant you as an individual will become in the course of events. Daniel did not know how significant what he was doing would become with the evolution of time. I mean, I was just a kid, 16, 17. I'm sure his parents were killed in the siege in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. He was taken as a slave, him, Shadrach, and a lot of other boys. We don't know their names. We don't know their names. Their names are not recorded. It wasn't just Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego. There were plenty of them. I'm sure there were hundreds that were taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Daniel just purposed in his heart that I'm going to do the will of God. He didn't know what the other people were going to do. And these other three boys said, we're with you. Little did they know that that four-man company, thank you, would change the course of history. They didn't know. I'm going to give one or two more examples. I got to close. I mentioned this actually on Sunday, glancingly, about Paul. You know, Paul was faithful to what God called him to do. Jesus appeared to him, gave him the revelation of the new creation, the New Testament, and all of that. But he wasn't the only one. I mean, there was Peter, James, and John, and the others, and they did their own part too. But at the time Paul was writing those letters, he did not know that they would form 2/3 of the whole of the New Testament. He didn't know. He was just being faithful. He said, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. It was out of love and out of care. Let me write these people in Corinth. Let me write these ones in Ephesians. Let me write this one so that, you know, they will grow spiritually. He was not doing it so that he would be the author of the New Testament. He did it out of love and faithfulness. But with time, it turned out that that was the very pillar that the entire New Testament stood on. But he did not know at that time. Last example. His name is Luke. Also a disciple of Paul. A Gentile. A doctor by profession. All he did was following Paul. Just an ordinary brother. Just, he wasn't an apostle, he wasn't a prophet. I mean, he didn't have the title. He certainly was, but he didn't have all those titles. He was just a doctor, and he was just following Paul, and all his whole life was to look after Paul. He was following Paul everywhere. Everywhere Paul went, he would travel with him. He would go on the boat with him, or the ship, and everything, you know. And he was just, you know, ministering to the man of God, you know, faithful. Little did he know. Little did Luke didn't know. And there was a guy called Theophilus, who was one of his people that they had preached to. And he decided to write 2 letters to this Theophilus to tell him and give him a detailed, precise account of the things they had told him by preaching. But he said, now put it down in writing, you know, in logical order for record purposes. He wasn't thinking about writing the Bible. But that faithfulness turned out to be the gospel according to Saint Luke and what we call the Acts of the Apostles. The only Gentile that entered the canon. Don't say you are not important. Whatever you are doing now, do it faithfully with all your heart. Even if it's you alone. Even if it looks as if there are people around you that don't understand. You don't know where the significance of what you're doing and where it's going to wind up. Be faithful in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet.
same vein, we want to announce a free will, holy convocation for a 21 days fast, seeking the face of God, purifying our hearts, turning away from finding our own pleasure, and humbling our souls with fasting for our beloved nation, Nigeria. It is time for God to take away our shame and establish a new name, so God's covenant of truth will begin to reign in and throughout our land. So we will be inviting anyone who's ready to do the things I said earlier, purify your hearts, turn away from your wicked ways and from doing your own pleasure during this time of fast, seek God's face for Nigeria, and the fast, because it's a fast that's specific, a detailed fast, the preparation. We're starting from the 1st of March. And you know, this just was a good platform to announce it. It was a good day to announce it. Because this kind goeth not except by fasting and prayer. So from the 1st to the 3rd of March, there will be a 3-day fast. It starts with a 3-day fast, bang. Only water, please. No Fanta, no Coke, no soft drinks. This is just only water. And then we come in on Thursday to pray. We come in on Friday to pray. And of course, we come in on Gideon's to pray for those of you that are Gideon's members. Of course, I expect you, if you're joining this fast, to show up on Saturday morning and enlist as a Gideonite. And then for the lead intercessors and the man child, and those of you that are enlisting in this fast, the 3 days you break on Saturday evening. So this is how it would go. From the 1st to the 3rd, and that 1st happens to be a Thursday, there will be prayer going on here from 6 p.m. And then on Thursday, on Friday, there will be prayer going on at 6 p.m. And then 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, we have the Gideon's prayers for the nation, and then we have the enforcing the kingdom. Then I expect you to go and stay before God, pray, study the word, and don't break your own fast until 6 if you're not a member of the lead intercessors band or a member of the man child, because it is a 3 days fast. And I expect you to pray and break the fast later in the evening. So now you eat on Saturday night, you eat on Sunday, you eat on Monday. Tuesday is the church fast, everybody fasts again. Then on Wednesday, you eat in the night, I presume, but you can eat. Thursday, we start again the 3 days fast. Like we said it before, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then you eat on Saturday night. Sunday, you eat. Sunday night, you eat. Or Sunday, you can eat. And day, then anytime. Then Monday, Thursday. No, can't eat anytime. You eat in the evening. Because it's supposed to be basically a fast of 21 days that you don't break until the evening. So basically, the fast is, we are fasting solid 21 days and don't break this fast until evening. And we are not taking anything when we are fasting except water. We are not going to take Fanta. We're not going to take Coke. This is part of our sacrifice to say, God, we are humbling our souls. We're not even taking anything sweet, because we are feeling the bitterness, the pains and the pangs of our nation has overwhelmed us. And I pray that the Lord will make our water sweet. Amen. We're going to the source of the water. Now pray that as we seek his face, the Lord will add salt to that source of water, and it will sweeten our water in Nigeria in the name of Jesus. It is time. Prophets are beginning to hear. God is raising prophets even outside this country, praying for Nigeria, praying for Nigeria here in the same town, that it is time. Time for God to change our name and establish a new name, so that God's truth will begin to reign in our land. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you understand? So to have 7 days to eat as much as you can eat. Today is the 20th. The fast is not on the first. Eat this fast as all you can eat. Eat all you can eat. There's a restaurant. There's a restaurant in America that says eat all you can. Of course, they know you can't eat all you can. So, you know, but just prepare for the fast. Be sober. Begin to decrease your eating habits so the pangs of pains will not begin to capture your mind. That's why there's a long preparation, because this is a real serious fast. And we don't want people to suntan to it. God does not want you to vow a vow if you're not going to keep that vow. But I believe that it's a season. After this fast, God is going to change some directions in this country in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something. Things are beginning to change in the realm of the spirit. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, nobody knew that the Savior was already born. Nobody knew that things had happened 30 years before the manifestation of his sonship. So please, brethren, things are happening. Even though sometimes, you know, because I walk in the spiritual by his grace, I know that so many times when God says things, he's already started walking. Yeah. Because the evening, it always is the evening and the morning. It always begins in the evening when it's dark. Amen. Everybody, by the time everybody is seeing it, it's only those who are dense in the realm of the spirit that are seeing it in that time. Because those that are sharp in the spirit begin to see it when it's dark. God bless you. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. So let's begin to prepare our hearts. Certainly God is he's fixing to do something, you know, and he's looking for willing vessels that he can channel his power through to effect a permanent change in our nation. You know, all these things is working together. Is the travail of the nation, we ourselves who are the fruits of the Spirit, and all of it is geared to one end, the manifestation of the glory of God and the consequent deliverance of the nation. You know, the Levite company that's going to step into the Jordan and part the waters so that Nigeria can move into the promised land in Jesus' name. Let's talk to God. Just talk to God in your heart tonight, and just it's a very simple message. Lord, here I am, send me. Say, Lord, I, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will make the sacrifice that I need to make to be a part of this, what you're doing, so that you can use me, use my spirit as one of those channeled through which your power will flow in Nigeria into the earth to get your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Raise one hand to God, raise the other hand, put it on your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come tonight, reminding me that you are looking for Daniels, Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednego's in this time in Nigeria. that will stand in the gap, that will stand in the Jordan, through which, creating a path through which Nigeria will cross into her prophetic promised land. Father, I present myself to you tonight. Here I am. Send me. I purpose in my heart, like Daniel did, Lord God, not to defile myself with the king's meat, but to consecrate my time, my life, and my prayers to be a part of this group that you will use to create this path in the Jordan, the place of death, through which Nigeria will pass into her promised prophetic destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. La patolo motolo mashi kardo fres. Zika to frede. La prikitoske fre. Lombardela. Lombardikus to fridisk. Tolo mangaras. Lombrika klomatolo. Lombrikitos. Lombrika klomatolo mash to fris. Toklomatolo mantolo. Lambr to fridu fri frisi. Zoko klomatolo. Lombrika klomatolo to fridu fri frisi. Kako klomatolo to fridu frisi. To fridu fridu frisi. Lombrika klomatolo. Tolo mashala number kakromatula number to free refreshing to free the free fresh to kakromatula number kakromatula mutulum to free the fresh to kromatula masho zeli kakakrom tulum to free the free refreshing car mutul tulum to fresh to free the tulum tulum to free the free the shang iki to free number kakromatulum to free zofredes no lombaras jiki to fresh tulumaros Tulumus to fresh, Lombridicus, Gelas, to fresh, Lombridis, Zocramatulus, Geleperdolomas, Tofredas, Gelacacutulus, to fresh, Tolomungar do fresh. In Jesus' name. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we cling with the blood.